Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 12th of May, 2026, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, we do have a birthday today. And Daria is back teaching the little people. And today is Daria's birthday. And Upland Bible Church has been very, very blessed to have Daria and Tim in the church. They are a very important part of the team and the evangelism team and helping out just about every way that they can help out. So we are truly blessed to have Daria as a part of Upland Bible Church. Today is her birthday. And I'm not going to yell, "Happy birthday, Daria." But... what's that? She is? Is she going to come in and say, "Thank you, Papa"? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. One of the functions of a client nation to God is that that client nation is a haven for the Jews, provides protection for the Jews, the Jewish people, from any anti-Semitism. And in the past, the United States of America, as a client nation to God, has been a wonderful haven for the Jews, protecting them from anti-Semitism. But we're living in days of apostasy and degeneracy. And throughout America, we have mayors elected all over America who are anti-Semitic. The mayors are. We have governors elected all across America who are anti-Semitic, who promote anti-Semitism and protect those who commit anti-Semitic acts. And that's going on more and more and more. And there is an excellent article, and this article was written before what went on again today. in New York City again today. Tremendous anti-Semitic acts New York City. And the article here is Anti-Semitism in the Big Apple. From lox and bagels to Broadway to the sitcom Seinfeld, the Jewish people and New York City go hand in hand. The nation's most populous metropolis is home to the largest Jewish population outside of Israel. 1.4 million Jews live in New York City. 1.4 million. But since the November 2025 election of the city's new anti-Israel mayor, Zohran Mamdani, many Jewish New Yorkers are wondering if home will have to be someplace else. On November 19th, Nefesh B'Nefesh, an organization that helps Jewish people make immigration to Israel, held an open house at the Park East Synagogue in Manhattan. Outside, a group of around 200 people, organized by the anti-Israel organization Palestinian Assembly for Liberation, gathered to protest the event. A flyer distributed by the group read, "No settlers on stolen land." Well, it's not stolen land because the living and true God gave the land to Israel. That's the real estate covenant, one of the four unconditional covenants given by the living and true God to the Jews. It's their land. And we're going to be studying those covenants in detail here in one of our classes. A flyer distributed by the group read, "No settlers on stolen land," and protest the settler recruiting fair. References to the notion that Jewish people living in Israel are settler colonizers. Many protesters were clad in keffiyehs, the Arab scarf symbolizing the anti-Israel cause. And they carried signs with slogans like, "We see you stealing stolen land, and pedophiles and rapists are running our government to serve Israel." Footage of the event captured protesters chanting, "Death, death to the IDF." And from New York to Gaza, globalize the Intifada. And resistance, you make us proud. Take another settler out. The level of vitriol caused many high-profile figures, both friendly and unfriendly toward Israel, to denounce the protest, including former New York City Mayor Eric Adams and New York Governor Kathy Hochul. For Mamdani's part, the mayor of New York City, his spokesperson, Dora Pikich, stated, quote, the mayor-elect has discouraged the language used at last night's protest and will continue to do so. He believes every New Yorker should be free to enter a house of worship without intimidation. And he also believes that these sacred places, the synagogues, should not be used to promote activities in violation of international law. That statement not only failed to denounce the protest as pure, unadulterated anti-Semitism, but it also took aim at those assembled peaceably within the synagogue by calling nefesh benefesh work a violation of international law, helping these Jews who are now under attack in New York City, helping them to get home to Israel. That is a violation of international law. Jewish Insider reported that when asked to clarify the concluding caveat from Pekech's statement, Mamdani's team, now he has a team, said it was specifically in reference to the organization's promotion of settlement activity in Israel, which violates international law. Prior to his election, more than 1,000 American rabbis signed a letter condemning Mamdani and others like him because they refused to condemn anti-Semitism, violent slogans, deny Israel's legitimacy, and accuse the Jewish state of genocide, which delegitimizes the Jewish community and encourages and exacerbates hostility toward the Jewish people. Following Mamdani's election, the encouragement and exacerbation of such hostilities began very quickly. On November 5th, one day after the mayoral election, the Megan David Yeshiva in Brooklyn was defaced with two red swastikas. Two swastikas. These people, what is going on in their anti-Semitism, they are no different than Adolf Hitler. No different than Adolf Hitler and Nazism. They are the exact same evil. And we do not stand up and say that is totally wrong, should never happen in America. What happened in Adolf Hitler's Germany. But it is. It's happening all across America. Was defaced with two red swastikas. That same month, anti-Semitic graffiti. I won't tell you what the expletive is. You can figure it out. The expletive Jews was found spray painted on Brooklyn sidewalks. Later in November, at an interfaith event at New York City College, a Muslim imam, after extolling the virtues of Sharia law, then denounced the director of a campus Jewish organization as evil and Zionist. He then led all of the Muslim students in attendance out of the room in protest. Statistics for the month of January 2026 show that anti-Semitic incidents rose sharply, constituting a 182% increase. A 182% increase from a year ago, and highlighting the heightened danger that the Jewish people now face in New York City. New York City long stood as a golden land where Jews could live freely, something rare anywhere else until Israel's rebirth in 1948. Now, with the city led by a mayor who hates the Jewish people and their ancestral homeland, recent events portend a troubling future for New York's Jewish community. The United States of America is no longer a haven for the Jewish people. That tells you how evil we have become. In the Abrahamic covenant, God promised, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. Mayors, governors, all across the United States are hating and cursing Israel. And that portends judgment from the living and true God on us. How long are we going to be a client nation to God? Well, we are trending the wrong way. The wrong way. People all across this land should stand up and totally say that is wrong. Anti-Semitism is a horrid, horrible evil that cannot occur in the United States of America. This nation has been a haven for the Jews in the past. We should still be a haven for the Jews now and protect the Jewish people from any anti-Semitism. That is horrible. That is vicious. And by the way, this was written about what went on several months ago. The same thing happened again today in New York City. The exact same thing. All right. We are in Zechariah chapter 6. And in Zechariah chapter 6, verses 9 to 15, we have the crowning of Joshua, first of all. That's verses 9 through 11, and we've studied that. We'll look at the corrected translation of Zechariah 6, 9 through 11. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, receive the gift from the exile, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Yediah, who have come from Babylon. And go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. And take the silver and the gold, which they brought with them from Babylon, and make a crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the high priest, the son of Jehozadak. Now, in verse 12, abruptly, Zechariah is commanded to deliver a special message to Joshua. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Behold the man whose name is the branch. The branch is a very special messianic title for Christ as the Son of David. And the word for man, which is Ish, puts the spotlight on the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God had to become true humanity to carry out the Father's incarnation plan of Operation Grace, the cross. It was the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and solved the world problem of sin once and for all. Israel is the tree, and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent of Christ. The fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump, but Jesus Christ grows out of the stump and becomes the branch who will fulfill the four unconditional covenants to Israel at the second advent, the Abrahamic real estate, and that's a much better way to call it, not the Palestinian covenant, but the Abrahamic real estate, Davidic, and New Covenants. So the branch is a special messianic title for Christ as the Son of David. And we saw this in Isaiah 4, verse 2, Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16, Zechariah 3, 8, and of course, our verse, Zechariah 6, verse 12. Now, in the rest of this passage, Zechariah 6, verses 12 through 15, seven prophecies are given concerning the messianic branch. Seven prophecies. So far, we have studied prophecy number one. Messiah, the branch, will branch out. Of course, this is a great play on words. The word, the branch, is the noun tzemach. And tzemach is the branch, and the branch will tzemach. Tzemach will tzemach. And tzemach is the verb to branch out. So the tzemach will tzemach, the branch will branch out, mitaktav, from his place. He came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root. The first advent. He came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. And that's the last passage we saw last time. We're going to start with that tonight. Isaiah 53, 2 through 6. So turn over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, 2 through 6. So he came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Isaiah 53, verse 2, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. This is the Lord Jesus Christ at the first advent. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. He was treated as a common criminal by his own people. A man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised. He certainly was. He was despised and hated, and they crucified him. They killed him. That's what they wanted to do. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the eternal Son of God. They wanted to kill him. So he was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up and carried our sins and carried our guilt. Yet we considered him stricken by God, the one struck down with judgment from God, God the Father. The sins of the world were poured out on him and judged in him. Smitten by him, the one being judged by him, God the Father, and the one being degraded. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, reconciliation, was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed, forgiven. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord God the Father has laid on him, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. So he came at the first advent as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. That's the first advent of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53, 2 through 6. But at the second advent, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will shoot upward and branch out as a strong, fast-growing plant elevated to great heights. When Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, he will accomplish miraculous things that only the incomparable Christ can do. He will accomplish miraculous things that man has never been able to accomplish in all of human history. He will provide perfect environment. He will rule the world with absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He will provide world peace. Man, in fact, will never train for war again. He will fulfill the four unconditional covenants to Israel. That's prophecy number one. Now that brings us to prophecy number two. Messiah, the branch, will build the temple of the Lord. He will build the temple of the Lord. Zechariah 6, verse 12. In the King James, it says, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. This is the conjunction vav prefixed to the verb bana plus the direct object marker eth, joined by a makef to the noun hekal plus the tetragrammaton. The conjunction vav is a connective vav when you translate it and. The verb bana looks like this in the Hebrew. That's B-A-N-A-H, bana, bana. And bana is the Hebrew verb to build. The subject of the verb is the Messiah, the branch, the tzemach. The direct object marker F introduces what the branch, the Messiah, will build in the millennial kingdom. He will build Hakal Jehovah. Hakal, H, long E, K, A, L, and then the tetragrammaton, Y, H, doesn't look like it, Y, H, W, H, Hakal Jehovah, the temple of the Lord. And he, the Tzemach, the branch, will build the temple of the Lord. All right. One, this does not refer to the second temple that Zerubbabel constructed in 516 B.C. in Zechariah's day. Does not refer to that at all. This does not refer to the second temple that Zerubbabel constructed in 516 B.C. in Zechariah's day. Point two, rather, this refers to the millennial temple that will be constructed at Messiah's second coming. This refers to the millennial temple that will be constructed at Messiah's second coming. There's going to be a special temple in the millennial kingdom, and that's what we have here. So a lot of great passages describing this. The most complete is presented in Ezekiel, but we're gonna have to wait till Zechariah is done and teach Ezekiel, because three chapters are devoted to the millennial temple in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapters 40, 41, and 42. Three chapters describe the millennial temple in great detail. We're not going to go there now, I'm not going to read to you three chapters, or we'll just sign off and go home. But turn over to Isaiah 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and I don't know if you have I have three Bibles up here, but one of the ones that I like a lot is the Ryrie Study Bible. And I'll read from the Ryrie Study Bible, and it says, Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, the glory of the future kingdom, the millennial kingdom. All right. Isaiah 2, verse 1, this is what Isaiah, son of Amos, not Amos and Andy, but Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, it refers to the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations all over planet Earth. These are Gentiles coming to the temple, the new temple in the millennial kingdom. And all nations will stream to it, this new temple in the millennium. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Millennial temple, he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, turn over to Micah. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, and if again, if you have your Ryrie Study Bible, it says Micah 4, 1 to 5, 1, deliverance, the king, the coming kingdom, and the glories of the kingdom. The glories of the millennial kingdom are found in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1, in the last days, the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established, a chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and peoples, Gentile nations from all over planet Earth will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. And the law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now turn over to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, and again, if you, it says Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, millennial blessings extended to the Gentiles. Millennial blessings extended to the Gentiles. So Isaiah 56, starting at verse 4, for this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenants. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. They will not be cut off, and foreigners, these are Gentiles all over planet Earth in the millennium, who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord. These are Gentile believers in the millennial kingdom who love the name of the Lord and to worship Him. All who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them happiness in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering, this is from the Gentile believers in the millennial kingdom, their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar in the millennial temple, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations in the millennial kingdom. Going to be fantastic. So, this temple of the Lord that the branch will build is the millennial temple that will be constructed at Messiah's second advent. Second coming. All right. Now, we aren't done with prophecy number two. Prophecy number two goes on in verse 13. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the personal pronoun who, plus the cal imperfect of bana, plus the direct object marker joined by a makef to hekal with the tetragrammaton again. Now, I mean, we just had this phrase you said, I think this is, they made a mistake. They repeated the same one. No, no. We got some things here. This is different. The vav here is the emphatic vav. And it may be translated, indeed, really, in fact, certainly, or yes, it is. And that's how we're going to translate it. Yes, it is. And then we have the personal pronoun who. H, long U, olive. Who. And you've heard me say this. Who is he? He is she. Me is who, and dog is fish. You see, when you're at seminary and you're learning vocabulary, I walked all around Dallas with these cards, and I went through this again and again. Who is he? He is she. Me is who. Dog is fish. Well, here's who. And who is he? Who is he? He is the branch. He is the branch. He is the Messiah. So yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah. So corrected translation. Yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah, who will bana, who will build the Hekal Jehovah, the temple of the Lord. So this was added as great emphasis. All right, that concludes prophecy number 2. Now prophecy number 3. The Messiah, the branch, is to bear the glory. Verse 13. And he shall bear the glory. This is the conjunction vav prefix to the personal pronoun who once again, plus the cal imperfect of nasa, plus the noun hoth. The personal pronoun who, well, now you know who is he, and he is the branch. He is the Messiah. And then we have the verb nasa. N-A-S-A, olive. Nasa. Okay, a couple of things on this verb, nasa. Literally, it means to lift up and carry or to take. To lift up and carry or take. That's literally. It is used figuratively in point 2. Figuratively, nasa means to bear or to be clothed with, and it's used figuratively in our verse. To bear or to be clothed with. And then 3, the branch, the Messiah, will bear or be clothed with hoth. H, long O-D, hoth. The branch, the Messiah, will bear, be clothed with hoth. 4, the Hebrew word hoth means splendor, majesty, glory. The Hebrew word hoth means splendor, majesty, glory. 5, hoth is used of the splendor and majesty of a king. It's used of the splendor and majesty of a king. Six, this is the splendor and majesty of the king of all kings. And the Lord of all lords, Christ, the Messiah. This is the splendor and majesty. of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Christ the Messiah. Turn over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. In fact, we could start out verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. When I praise His name, His essence, His attributes, who and what He is. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared, respected above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are nothing but the Lord made the heavens, the creator of the universe. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary, the millennial temple. So this is the splendor and majesty of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Christ the Messiah. Psalm 96, verse 6. 7. In the millennial kingdom, the Messiah will finally receive the honor, the majesty, the glory due Him. The first advent, He was rejected by His own people, treated as a common criminal, laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on His head, beaten to the point His closest friends couldn't recognize Him, and crucified. That was the first advent. But in the millennial kingdom, the Messiah will finally receive the honor, the majesty, the glory due Him. 8, He will reign with regal splendor as both king and priest. He will reign with regal splendor as both king and priest. So prophecy number 3. And He, the branch, will be clothed with glory, splendor, majesty, and honor. Now prophecy number 4. The Messiah, the branch, will sit and rule on His throne. He will be a king. The Messiah, the branch, will sit and rule on His throne. He will be a king. Prophecy number 4, verse 13 goes on and says, and shall sit and rule upon His throne. This is the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cow perfect of Yashav, plus the conjunction vav, prefixed to the cow perfect of Mashal, plus the preposition al joined by a makef to the noun Kisei with the third person singular masculine suffix. Well, we start out with the conjunction vav, connective vav, correctly translated, and. It is also a conversive vav, converting the perfect of the verb yashav into an imperfect, looking forward to the millennial kingdom. So, and then we have the verb yashav. Y-A-S-H-A-B, Yashab. All right. A couple of things on this verb one. Literally, Yashab means to sit, to remain, to dwell. Two, figuratively, it is especially used of sitting on a throne, to be enthroned. To sit on a throne, to be enthroned. Three, it is combined with the verb mashal. Looks like that in the Hebrew, M-A-S-H-A-L, mashal. So it's combined with the verb mashal, and mashal is the verb that means to rule, to have dominion, to reign. To rule, to have dominion, to reign. Four, the branch, the Messiah, will sit and rule Al-Kisei on his throne in the city of Jerusalem. The branch, the Messiah, will sit and rule Al-Kisei on his throne in the city of Jerusalem. Point five. Having disposed of Satan, he's put him in prison for the 1,000-year millennium, and all of his demons, they're no longer controlling planet Earth or have anything to do with planet Earth. So having dispossessed Satan and all of his demons from their control of planet Earth, six, now the Messiah will reclaim the planet as its creator and its redeemer. The Messiah will reclaim the planet as its creator and its redeemer. Seven, he will sit on the throne of his father David. He will sit on the throne of his father David. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. We'll start verse 31. And behold, this is the angel talking to Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. So he will sit on the throne of his father David. Luke 1, 31 to 33. 8. He will rule in righteousness. He will rule in righteousness, and He will rule with a rod of iron. A rod of iron. So He's going to rule planet Earth in absolute righteousness and justice, and also with a rod of iron. Turn over to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11. And again, at the beginning of Isaiah 11, in Ryrie Study Bible, it says, the rule of the branch of Jesse. The rule of the branch of Jesse, chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Verse 1, a shoot, this is the Messiah, will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will have infinite virtue, love, and personal love for the Father. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with absolute righteousness he will judge the destitute. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked, the reversionist. Righteousness will be his belt, and truth the sash around his waist. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. Now there's a lot more still here, but you got to come back next week and... You might practice, who is he is she, me is who, dog is fish. We have who, he, the branch. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.